This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Having a couple issues with our phone lines today. The hamsters are not quite running on the wheel like they're supposed to. We're going to have to get new hamsters. We've been working those hamsters hard. See if there's some budgets. Maybe some gerbils. Start making some gerbils. We'll find some rodents to run our wheels and keep this operation going. But while we do that, let's share a couple of news stories with you. The BC government says it will introduce a new system providing supports and services to children and youth with disabilities that offers fast, one-stop help without having to wait to a health referral or a diagnosis. Mitch Dean, BC's Minister of Children and Family Development, says the government will implement the new system over the next 4 years, with the first service hubs opening in the Northwest and the Central Okanagan.
We've known for many years that BC's patchwork of programs hasn't been working for families. And as someone with 30 years' experience in the field, I can tell you that despite the best efforts of staff and frontline workers, these programs today have significant gaps and challenges.
Jennifer Charlesworth, BC's representative for children and youth, says the program will help families navigate the often complex system, but she's concerned that it will not be fully operational until 2025.
Every day we are dealing with advocacy cases and reportables and reviews that we're doing for families that are really struggling right now. And the pandemic has just been so destructive for these families. So it's a long time in the future.
About 30,000 children and youth in British Columbia with support needs are currently accessing services provided through the ministry or government contractors. And then looking at a national story, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is off to Europe this morning for a six-day trip, mostly touting Canada's promises on climate change and COVID recovery. Mia Rabson charts the journey.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will start his trip with an official visit to the Netherlands before he heads to the G20 Leaders Summit in Rome and the United Nations Climate Talks in Scotland. Trudeau's hope to push Canada's credibility on climate change at both meetings could be boosted by a new study today showing his latest climate promises may finally get Canada all the way to meeting a greenhouse gas emissions target. Trudeau intends to use the G20 to push for more vaccine equity around the world, but Canada has only distributed 6% of the vaccine doses it promised to donate earlier this year. Mia Rabson, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.
And let's look at a few more stories that do relate to climate change. A new study finds Canada's fossil fuel producers receive more public financial support than others in the developed world. Karen Rebo looks at the numbers.
A new analysis by Oil Change International adds up loans, loan guarantees, grants, share purchases, and insurance coverage provided to fossil fuel producers by governments and government agencies. Around the world, that added up to almost $78 billion last year. It found Canada topped the subsidies list, providing producers an average of almost $14 billion a year between 2018 and 2020. That's about 14 times as much as it provided to renewable energy, and which is a far higher multiple than in any other G20 country in the study. Karen Rebo, The Canadian Press.
In another climate change related story, top executives at ExxonMobil, Shell, and American oil giants are set to testify at a landmark congressional hearing today. House Democrats are investigating what they describe as a decade-long industry-wide campaign to spread misinformation about the role of fossil fuels that's causing global warming. And then one more sound that I want to play for you. U.S. climate envoy John Kerry says there is a revolution happening in boardrooms around the world. He says when it comes to the $1 trillion in climate spending needed to save the planet over the next decade, businesses are not only on board, but are also eager to participate in the new green investment. Investment opportunities.
Shareholders are demanding that their companies be part of the solution. And those investments are paying off, including in automotive, aviation, and heavy industry.
The COP26 meetings are intended to finalize the rulebook for the Paris Accord, including on such matters on how carbon emissions trading can work between countries and what each country has to report about progress towards climate goals. Let's head down the 401 and catch up with Shiny Saravanamuthu, our community reporter in Montreal. Hey, good morning, Shiny. Thank you for making time for us today. Thank you for working through our technical gremlins.
No problem. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, Shiny, let's start with a bit of a COVID update in Quebec. You wanted to give us an update on how things are going. What are the restrictions like over there these days with the proof of vaccination protocols?
So basically, a lot of places that are non-essential, like restaurants, arenas, sports complexes, you do need to have your vaccine passport, which is an app here, and you need to be double vaccinated in order to get in. And even wedding venues, you need to have your vaccines in order to attend a wedding or any event. So it's good that people can still move on with their life and get things done, but with precaution. So it's nice.
Mm-hmm. And some businesses are beginning to open up again, getting folks returning to the office. What do you want to tell? What do you want to tell us about that?
So I'm actually going into the office for the first time in on November 17th.
Whoop whoop.
So yeah, it's on a one day per month basis for our team. Looking forward to it. So I don't know if you guys remember, but I switched departments. So I've never met anyone from my department yet in real life. So November 17 will be the first time I meet my entire team.
So speaking of these changes in life and returning things back to normal and getting out of the house, you recently looked into getting a new white cane through the CNIB. What sparked that decision for you?
Well, I don't know if it's like a mix of not having used our eyes as much during COVID because I was at home. My commute was literally to the basement, but as opposed to back before that, I was traveling, commuting. I guess my eyes are more active, and maybe it also comes from some anxiety of not being out in the real world. I just feel like it's about time that I do get it, especially because now with my night vision, it is a lot harder to see at night. And now with the winter, it does get darker much earlier, even when you wake up. So I decided to look into it. And so I contacted the CNIB. So in Montreal, in Quebec, it's through the Mackay Montreal Association for the Blind. So I'm waiting for them to get back to me. Currently, there is a 4 to 5 month wait list for my age group. So I guess it'll be in the spring that I start training. For me, like, I have so many questions. Like, I don't even know which cane, what size, what kind of cane would be suitable for me. So I'm just waiting for my assessment. And then from there, get the training I need for my O&M training and then go from there. So hopefully by spring, I'll have a trusty partner to help me feel more confident and independent again. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, Shiny, it's a big step and it's a good one. I know that there's a lot of folks who maybe they'll resist and they'll wait a little bit, but it's always good to get that O&M training going. So good for you for reaching out and having that recognition. Let's jump over to something you mentioned here a little bit before when you were talking about some of the restrictions, which is that folks need their vaccinations to get into weddings. And it's wedding season during COVID, which I think can make things a little bit interesting. So you recently attended a wedding. What are some of the health and safety measures that folks had to follow?
So the good thing is that the venues now require you to have your vaccine. So they take your temperature and they check your vaccine app. In Quebec, it's an app. So your proof of vaccine. And if you're not, they actually turn you away. Wow. So it's an awkward thing for, I guess, the bride and groom to tell people, like, hey, make sure you're double vaccinated. And I guess people still show up taking a chance. And if you're not, you get sent back. So at least this is a way for couples to still go on with their weddings that they've probably postponed for the last 2 years, but still be able to celebrate. And with those who are double vaccinated and know that everyone around them is safe. So at least, you know, there's no worrying or anxiety after, okay, did we catch it at our wedding or not?
So, okay, that's the serious stuff. Here's my actual question. Did you have a good time at the wedding? Was it fun?
Oh, my God, I had a great time. You know what's really scary, though? Like, this wedding was back in, end of September, beginning of September. It was so easy to forget that COVID existed.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. I think, like, you get into this bubble of people who are all double vaccinated and you're all at the bar and dancing, and then you're like, oh yeah, COVID's a thing. It's so weird, you know? So it's, I find it's easy to forget sometimes.
You know, that's something that I've been talking about a little bit on the air too, that sometimes we can live a pretty insular life, right? In my case, for a lot of the pandemic, I was taking my 2-kilometer walk back and forth to work, and that was kind of the life that I led, right? My life was just walking back and forth to work, occasional pop into the grocery store. And then during the summer, I started slowly making my way back downtown. And then as you start walking along Queen West, or I guess in Montreal, it'll be along St. Catherine, or walking up and down Crescent or St. Laurent, you're like, oh, there's like still a vibrancy happening in this world that sometimes we forget when we just get into these little bubbled lives, that there's still like a lot of really like natural human connection that occurs out there.
Yeah. It's just, it's nice to slowly get back, but it's like, it was a shock, you know, like when you look back at it, you're like, oh wow, I totally forgot that COVID existed at that wedding. But like, you know, so baby steps, we're all getting there slowly, and fingers crossed that we can all have a Christmas this year.
Yeah, for sure. I know a couple of my friends got hitched in September as well, and they did a much, much, much smaller wedding than they planned. They're Italian, so their original plan was to do like, you know, 150 people, big banquet hall, the whole deal. In the end, they chose to just do a very small backyard wedding, and what they did is one, the double vaccination rule, like they weren't going to a venue, but they still said everybody's got to be double vaxxed, and B, they had everybody do the antigen rapid tests the day before and the day of the wedding to be like, hey, like, let's be extra cautious here,
because you don't want your memory to be of like, oh, someone got COVID and we're the reason, right? So
happy memory of weddings. We were a super spreader event. Shiny, just as we're wrapping up here, we were talking about Halloween earlier in the hour with Rich Padulo about how to make Halloween more accessible and inclusive to everybody. We know you're a big fan of Halloween. How's this year coming along? You enjoying it?
So I feel like it creeped up on us this year. Like, me and my sister literally look at each other. We're like, oh my God, Halloween is this weekend. I think it's because there's no parties or anything. So like, maybe that's why we're a little like shocked, but yeah, so we're going to make our treat bags, and I think we're only going to make them tomorrow. We have all the candies and all the bags, and they're like prepped to be made. And like we did last year, we'll probably put at the end of the driveway just so it's more mobile and accessible, because the stairs are not the best for anyone of any age. We don't know what they're going through. So, and for me too, I'd just rather not go up flight of stairs, because you do have to go back and refill, right? So I'm like having it lit up, and I think just to know that all stairways and everything are cleared, so there's no hazards for anyone.
Hey Shiny, thank you for making time for us today. Thanks for bearing with us on the technical side. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.